Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Life, the podcast. This is episode 321 called Kristen Doty. This episode is sponsored by Extend Fertility. Fertility shouldn't be dictated by a timeline. Extend Fertility offers cutting-edge egg and embryo freezing, infertility care, and IVF, all designed to put you in control. Their approach? Research-driven, transparent, and personalized. With a world-class lab, exceptional verified success rates backed by nearly a decade of egg freezing results, and pricing lower than the national average, Extend Fertility is making reproductive care more accessible and effective than ever. Whether you're preserving fertility for the future or actively trying to conceive, they're here with expert support every step of the way. Learn more at extendfertility.com. Again, that's extendfertility.com. Thanks, Extend. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, B-E-L-I-B-A-B-Y, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. This episode is sponsored by Embryo Solution. Guys, have you ever heard of embryo donation? I've been getting asked a lot about this lately, so I wanted to share some really important information. Embryo donation is when one family that's gone through IVF donates their embryos to support the family building efforts of another family. And I've partnered with Embryo Solution, an agency with an important mission, to fill the gap between infertility and excess embryos by connecting all parties involved. Embryo donation costs approximately 30% less than traditional IVF. Embryo Solution is an inclusive agency working with single parents, couples in committed relationships, LGBTQ families, and more. With Embryo Solution, you're able to choose between an anonymous and an open relationship with the donor family. Plus, Embryo Solution ships the embryos to the clinic of your choice. So whether you're looking to build your family or you've gone through IVF and you have embryos in storage that you're not sure what to do with, Embryo Solution can help. They've got a team of experts at the ready to help you navigate whatever scenario you're going through. So to find out more, go to embryosolution.com. Again, that's embryosolution.com. Thanks, Embryo Solution. Okay, guys, before we get started, don't forget to check out my children's book about IVF, which is called Work of Art. You can find it on my website at infertileafgroup.com. It's a great way to start the conversation about family building through ART and normalize the conversation, and I would love for you guys to check it out. Again, it's at infertileafgroup.com. Also, if anybody is going through any sort of infertility struggle or building their family through ART, I would love to personally invite you to join Fertility Rally, which is the community I co-founded. It is the worst club with the best members, and we are always welcoming new members every single day. We're open always, and we have 4 to 5 different support groups per week. We have 4 private Facebook groups. We have IRL and virtual events and so much support, no matter what you're going through. So DM me at InfertileAFStories if you want to check out a group. I'm happy to have you check one out and see if you like it. And again, you can find out more at fertilityrally.com or on our Instagram at fertilityrally. Okay, you guys, I am so excited for today's episode. It is the queen of Bravo Liberty, Kristen Doty. As I'm sure you know, Kristen was the star of Vanderpump Rules. I watched every single episode of that back to back. I binged it over like the course of several months. It is hands down the best reality show ever. And now Kristen is on the spinoff show called The Valley, and season 2 of The Valley premieres on April 15th. Okay, so today, no surprise, because Kristen has kind of lived her life in the public eye for years and years, but we are going to get into all of it in terms of her fertility journey, miscarriage, going through IUI, and now her pregnancy. Her baby girl is due in June, and we're going to talk about the complexities of pregnancy after loss, as well as all the other things. So I want to thank Kristen again for doing this. She's got such a big platform, and it's so important when people like her talk about this stuff and, again, normalize it. So thank you to Kristen. And without further ado, this is Kristen's infertility story. Oh my God, Kristen Doty, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Hi, Allie. Thank you for having me.
Hi. I have to fangirl for just 1 second and then we'll talk about real shit. But I just want to say that I love you the most out of everybody on Vanderpump and The Valley because you are a real one and you are a girl's girl. Mm-hmm. And this was evidenced recently. All along the show, I feel like you've always stuck up for your best friends and women in general. And I really, really like that. But a recent episode of Brittany's podcast, Your Best Friend, you guys were talking about Jax and like all that stuff. And just the way that you had her back was like, it just proved like, I love a girl's girl. I love women that uplift other women. And you do that. And you always have. So thank you for that.
I mean, I agree with you. Like, I so root for women who support other women. Like, yeah. It's the best thing to know that you have, like, I like my village a little bit smaller these days because I want to know that, like, every friend that I have, every woman friend that I have is, like, always going to be talking me up. I don't have to worry about, like, catty gossip or, like, lack of support because we all just need support. And that's what Brittany, that's all Brittany needed during that podcast. It was really her to say what she wanted to say, but I think she just wanted a little bit of validation. And that's what I was there for.
Yeah. Well, I also think that just the way that you've been talking about not only your current pregnancy, which, by the way, we will get into and congratulations, but the way that you've also talked about loss that you've had and your fertility and, you know, what you and Luke have been through to get to where you are today. And one thing I want to quote, one thing that I read in another article was you were saying, I feel like it's important to talk about this because if other women experience it, and other women that I read about online helped you get through it. So, you know, that's the whole point of this podcast that I've been doing since 2019. You know, it started with my fertility journey and my 4 miscarriages and doing IVF. And it was because when I was going through it, I was like, where the fuck is everybody? Like, why is no one talking about this?
Oh, seriously. I mean, I definitely knew like a handful of friends that had miscarried or like had a loss previously, but most of my friends from back home in Michigan are, they have like teenagers now.
Right.
They're not having babies. And so I'm like remembering stories from like the past, you know, from like 10, 15 years ago where it's like, oh yeah, I had one before my first. Well, I had a loss before my first, but it wasn't current to me at all. Mm-hmm. So I was very detached from the thought.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So when it happened, it was really like, oh, fuck. Like, I really didn't know what to do with the emotion of it. I didn't know. I didn't feel like I really had, even though I have my friends I can turn to, friends, family, Luke, of course, but like no one to me, no one understood. Mm-hmm. And I still hear like a friend not that long ago had a loss and she talked about it publicly on the podcast and was, you know, really sharing her feelings, which I totally commend if you can do that. But she also was like very shut down and very like, no one understands. And I'm like, fuck, I get that it feels like no one understands. And there's really no way to tell anyone otherwise, except for like being there for them. So yeah, I think the podcast is really important. I mean, a lot of the shit that I read was on Reddit, which I'm like, I am like anti Reddit girl until I found out it wasn't just all the bad. And realized I could like lean there for, you know, support in a way of like hearing the normalcies of loss and infertility.
Right. But you can also go down like a crazy wormhole and you're like, oh my God, what am I talking? I've been on this for 4 hours. Like, what are these people talking about? You know, that's why I think it's important to have things that are like vetted. And, you know, again, back to when I was going through this, my son through IVF is now 9. So this was a while ago, you know, a lot has changed since then, but I remember like the Facebook groups, they're so weird. And I couldn't find my people. Like I was like, they were like really religious or just like different views than me. And, yeah. You know, to each his own, of course, but I just like couldn't find my jam. And I was like, oh, this sucks. And like you said, I feel like I had a lot of friends who had had losses, but nobody was going through exactly what I was going through at the same time. So it was very, very isolating and right. just felt so alone.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the more, again, like if this is to women out there, like if it's something you're comfortable doing, but I just think the more people, women that speak out on it, yeah. and I think, you know, a podcast like yours is important because it then allows like the next woman to know, like she's not alone. And yeah. friend realizes that. And then it's like, there's this kind of silent community of people to know it's like, it's going to be hard no matter what, but if it's normal, quote unquote,
right. yeah.
a little bit better.
Yeah. It's all about normalizing it and all this stuff, you know, not just infertility, but just like stuff with women's health or stuff with relationships and just being like, this isn't maybe my proudest moment or my cutest moment, but like this happened. And if it happened to you too, like you're definitely not alone. So yeah. again, thank you for speaking out and for like using your platform to that way. All right. Let's talk about your fertility journey. I always like to ask people, have you always wanted to be a mom?
Always.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. what was it like? You grew up in Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was your sex education like? Like, what did you learn in school, if anything?
I mean, yeah, in the 90s, you don't learn anything.
Right, right.
You learn how to say no to drugs, uh-huh. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I have an older sister. She's almost 7 years older than me. But even so, I think it was just like learning from doing and learning from friends and mm-hmm. and things like that. Yeah, so there really wasn't a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
That said whatsoever.
I heard somebody referring to it as like the banana condom generation where like they bring it out.
And
like
we had that, honestly.
Really? Yeah. And I remember with me, it was like, don't get pregnant. It's so easy to get pregnant. If you have sex, you can get pregnant. And not saying anything about ovulation or different times of the month or cycle.
Oh,
like,
no.
None of that shit. And that's why, you know, when I found myself trying for, so I had my first baby without assisted reproductive technology. She's 15 now. And the reason my kids are so far apart was because of all the secondary infertility stuff that happened in between. But honestly, Kristen, like I didn't even know what IVF really was mm-hmm. in my mid-30s. Like I was like, oh, is that what Octomom did to like have like 8 babies? Like I thought that it was just for people that wanted like multiples or.
Oh, for sure. I mean, absolutely. I mean, a lot of this will be on the Valley this season.
Yeah.
But even when Luke and I first like went to see our fertility specialist because we did IUI and we went to see her, I was so nervous about that because in my brain, and I've talked about this publicly a little bit, but in my brain, it was like, I see the specialist, I have to freeze my eggs. It means I can never have children. It means that this probably won't even work. It was like 0 to 100 and there yeah. was nothing in between because I didn't know about all of the options that are in between.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, between, that's what I loved about my fertility doctor specifically. It was like between science and also just good juju and manifesting and having like a positive outlook. It's kind of,
yeah.
be laid. And so that made me feel a lot more comfortable. But yeah, I literally, it's like, I had friends who froze their eggs, but I didn't know enough about it
mm-hmm.
to understand.
Right. So just to clarify, you never did that, right? You didn't go through egg freezing? Because it was on the show. Was it Sheena that did?
Sheena did.
Talked about, okay. I was trying to remember.
Yeah. And actually, we did film, strangely, I'm fairly certain it did not air.
Yeah.
Right before her divorce with Shay, she and I okay. went to a clinic to go talk about freezing our eggs. This was right before she actually did. I never went through with it.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, I was around, we were really close then when she was going through the first time and just watching her give herself shots and like
yeah.
how emotional, like the hormones were just so gnarly. And it just terrified me.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. And now in hindsight, I'm like, totally wish I had.
Right. But you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, to your point, it's like, it does seem so overwhelming. And you're like, wait, I have to take off like 2 weeks and do these injections. And how's that going to affect my hormones and everything else in my lifestyle? You know, all that stuff. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not a lot of great information, even still, unfortunately, out there.
A lot of education.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about meeting Luke. There was a really great quote on his Instagram where he said, "A lot changed for me in 2022. The best part was Kristen Doty coming into my life." That like made me well up.
Yeah. It's so wild to think back. Like, was it like 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago? And now I'm like, and we're engaged, about to have a baby.
Right. Yeah. And I love you guys on your podcast. Like, again, just being like real ones, like you guys have like real conversations and talk about real shit. I think it's why people feel so drawn to you as a person. Like, even though I've never met you, like, I do feel like I know you because you're like just so normal. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So tell me about when you guys got together. You know, I know you've said you're a little bit older than him. Did you guys talk about family building and like what you wanted the future to look like once you guys decided that you were going to be together?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're 8 years apart. Mm-hmm. Insane. Like my little brother is 1 year younger than me. So to me, anyone younger than that is like adolescent.
Right.
So like Luke was born in the 90s, which is okay. Like, wrap my head around. But
right.
But he's just, yeah, we just vibed so hard. And we, you know, he lived in Colorado and I lived out in California. And we just were like on the phone every day for weeks and weeks and weeks and months. And then it was a lot of visiting and a lot of pushback on my end because I had just gotten out of a relationship and was like, you know, he was persistent and he was consistent and it worked, but we absolutely did. Like I didn't want to like scare him away, but I also didn't want to keep someone around who was like kind of a waste of my time.
Yeah.
Because I knew my age, like I was 39 when we first started hanging out, like almost turning 40. And I'm like, I'm about to be 40. Like I'm not playing around. At that point, I truly didn't know how I felt about marriage anymore because I feel like I just had kissed so many frogs, as they say. Is that even in the cards for me? I don't know, but I want a family and I want stability and I want a father who's in my life and I want a partner, whether that's a husband or not, didn't matter. We did talk about it and he was like, he felt he had lived all the lives and was ready for the same kind of thing. And if it worked, it worked.
And so I know that you guys, you've also said like you worked hard on your fertility. What did that look like to you guys? Once you decided to go down that road, what were the steps that you took to like get tested and figure out all that stuff?
Yeah. So for me, obviously I wanted to make sure, like see what was going on my end. And I did have follicles. I didn't have a ton of them, but I did. They were, you know, eggs on both ovaries. So it was like, okay, we see them. That's great. And this was before the first pregnancy. So at first it was just kind of like, we're not trying super hard. We're definitely not trying. Like we're just giving it a go. And then we realized it wasn't as easy as we thought. So then it was like, okay, now it has to be like not very sexy and we need to pay attention to ovulation. And it's like, here's this tiny window. So then that, you know, happened over the course of a period of time. So we end up conceiving.
Yes. So like timed intercourse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like such a, like you said, like all the sexiness is taken out of it. Like, I remember like my husband and I, we were in such a dark place and we were like, I'd be like, just stuck it. Like I was just like screaming at him and like, he'd be sweating and like not able to perform. Like there's just so much pressure.
That part got worse once we were going through like the hormones and it was every 36 hours you have to. And I was like, let's make this happen. We know what we have to do. Like,
I know it's like, but it's like, this is our job now. And sorry, like it's not sexy at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's time for that. There's other times for that.
True. Good point. So
when we conceived the first time, we were out of town. We were like on this long road trip and we were in Colorado at the time. And Luke was like very convinced. It was like, we had finished filming. We were under no stress. It was like, we're in Colorado. Everything's just like easy. And that's why we conceived. So we were certain of that. And then after we lost the baby, you know, we can talk about that, but like everything that happened with that, it was like, at first, I remember my doctor being like, listen, you can actually conceive really, really quickly after your first, like, or after any miscarriage.
Yeah.
And so I was like, God, can, like, mentally, am I there? Like, could I do this? And I was so attached that I was like, let's just try. Like, I'm not detached yet. So we did. And of course, it didn't pan out. So then prior to getting pregnant this time, we were still doing, I was like, now I'm like, I have the ovulation sticks and now I have this, I had like, I don't know how many, like maybe three different apps. I had like the fancy, I forgot what it's called now, not the ring, but there's like another device and they come with their own kind of sticks and then you're plugging right into that. And it ended up just being like the cheapy sticks on Amazon. They were like charm, like, it's like, just use those. You have an app that it goes with, like, just do pay attention. And really, like, that's when I started learning a lot more about my body, a lot more about fertility, because I'm sitting here looking at a window of ovulation going, that is like, that's set in stone. That's mm-hmm. when I can only get pregnant. Not realizing, well, like, I might have missed my ovulation date. I might be ovulating later than normal this month. I might be ovulating earlier. And I'm like, oh my God, the stress.
Absolutely.
With that. Right. So I don't know, you know, it could have been a culmination of a lot of things of why it really wasn't working for us. Mm-hmm. Second time around, but we gave it 11 months.
Okay.
And then when we started talking to our fertility doctor, I remember receiving the first email, like not even knowing how far we were going to go with this. Like, are we going to just do the hormones? Like I was saying earlier, are we going to go mm-hmm. as far? But there is this paperwork that we have to read and fill out that's essentially goes through everything all the way to IVF. And one of the first emails that I got from her, or from the team, you know, just a very general email they send out to every single person, right, nothing personal about it, not even my name, but it had the word infertile. And it had that word in there probably 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, like, I'm talking kind of about how medication's not covered by insurance and things like that. And I'm sitting here and all I can read is infertile.
Right.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. We haven't even tried anything yet. Like, who are you right. calling? What? I was
100%
so deeply offended. I felt like just another number. I suddenly went from, and I want to be clear that this has nothing to do with their office. My doctor's right. amazing. Just in the moment, in my own head, I'm just spinning.
Right.
Like, is this because I'm old? Is this because I'm this? Like, how could they call me that? And it took a while. I didn't realize that is the term used for not being able to conceive naturally within a year, I believe.
Yeah.
So that obviously calmed me down. But
yeah, but it is such a harsh term. Ooh. And that brings up a subject of like, other terminology that you might have come across, you know, in this world is like geriatric pregnancy. Yeah. It's like, the fuck?
Yeah. Like over 35.
Yes. Right. Or even like the word abortion, where, you know, I have so many women that I'm friends with that are part of Fertility Rally, the community I started, who've had to have, including my business partner, who've had to have termination for medical reasons. But mm-hmm. on the paperwork, it's called an abortion. And you know, because that's what it is medically and technically, but it's like, there's such a misnomer there because I feel like a lot of people think if you have an abortion, and no judgment if you do, but it's a choice. You want one, you know, you don't want the baby, but like, there's such a gray area when it's,
oh, absolutely.
You want the baby, but the baby is not viable. So it's,
absolutely.
I feel like
in this pregnancy, when we had a scare at like 12, just like 13.
Yes. So I want to ask you about
weeks, that. We went to the hospital from bleeding. And when I left, the paperwork actually, or the paperwork said like threatened miscarriage. And when I started looking up what that was, there was like threatened abortion was like the word, the terminology used.
Yes. Well. Oh my God. That gives me like full body PTSD.
Yeah. The word miscarriage, like, it doesn't bother me, but it did when we had our loss, it kind of did, because I was already in my head about miscarrying. Like, what did I do? Should I not have traveled? The smallest things, like, of course I wasn't like drinking and smoking and blah, 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 but it was, I could think of every reason under the sun why that must have been my fault. I must have eaten this thing wrong, or I slept weird, or I don't even know the reasons I was making up in my head.
Yeah.
I heard someone refer to it as a pregnancy loss because you did not miscarry anything.
It's true. Yes. And I do, if you don't mind, can we unpack that one a little bit? You know, the first loss that you had, was it a blighted ovum? I think I read that some. Okay. Cause I had one of those as well. And again, it was like, I've never heard of that term. What is that? Never. You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd love to hear how you guys just navigated that time, you know, and I'll just give you my like general thoughts on like loss, miscarriage, chemical pregnancy, blight, all the things. Like in my mind, it's like a loss is a loss. Like I know people are like, how far along were you? Oh, at least you weren't. But like, to me, it's like, it still hurts. It's still painful. Even if it's the loss of an embryo that didn't thaw and you lost that embryo, or the loss of a cycle because it got canceled, you know, like these are all legit losses. So tell me about your, you know, how you guys got through that and navigated that time.
This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. The good news? We don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Okay, guys, so here is the very exciting news. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code INFERTILEF at checkout. Again, that's happymammoth.com and use the code INFERTILEF for 15% off. Thanks, Happy Mammoth.
Yeah, it was, I mean, just to go with what you were saying, like, I had no idea what that even meant. I honestly didn't even know when we got pregnant, going to like our first ultrasound, I hadn't read ahead to understand, like, here's this sac and then this little sac and then there's a little fetal pole. And like, I didn't know any of that. I was like waiting to see some tiny little microscopic, like alien thing that was going to turn into a baby.
Right. And because so, as women, that's all we're taught. It's like, you're pregnant and then 9 months later, you're having the baby. Like
And it's like, and you're not really in your ultrasounds, you're not seeing anything until you are. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know anything about that. Like we found out we were pregnant. It was like, okay, this is amazing. Great. And then the first appointment was like, there's the sac. Like we see the yolk sac. Okay, great. That sounds awesome. Now we wait and now we go back again. And then it was like, okay, well, it wasn't like, I'm just even trying to remember. It's like, it wasn't measuring. And then it was like, well, maybe we're measuring wrong.
Right.
You're not as far along as we thought you were.
Yeah.
You think you conceived this day, but this is the period and here was your period, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of like, this is weird. But of course, at the time I'm doing all my blood tests, my HCG and my progesterone, and they're fine. So Luke and I go out of town. We're back in Colorado. And then, so at this point I am like 6 or 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up in the morning and I started bleeding.
Yeah.
And there was like a little bit of tissue that had passed. It wasn't anything crazy.
Yeah.
Enough to scare me. And because we were nowhere near like my doctor, really, we were nowhere near any doctor. We started driving back to California that day. And I said, let's stop at a lab. So we found, I think it's like LabCorp or one of those, like, you can kind of go anywhere. And I was like, I found one in Arizona and had my doctor like order some labs. And then it was like, okay, we just drive home. We just figure this out. So when our labs came back, my progesterone was just nothing, which something else I knew nothing about. Like, I didn't even know what HCG meant. I just knew, like, it means I'm pregnant or I'm not pregnant.
Yep.
So if it's there, I must be fine, not realizing anything about hormone levels and learning the science behind all of that.
Right.
And also not like in my mind, I'm like, well, we'll just give me some progesterone.
Right. Get it back up.
Which is, we did try, of course, but at that point it was like, it's not happening.
Right.
So we waited a bit. Cause I have had a girlfriend of mine who's an OB nurse. She had the same thing happen to her she decided to wait an extra couple of weeks and there was a heartbeat. So it's like, not to say, I mean, and it's everyone's story.
Everyone's is so different. 100%. So
I ended up about a month after the first bleeding, which was like right before we went to get the labs done. It was about almost 4 weeks later that I ended up taking, I forget the medication, but to like induce the miscarriage, essentially. Mm-hmm. My doctor, you know, once, so then we realized, we go back in for an ultrasound there's no fetal pole. And he's so that explains to me what that all means. And this is probably where we're at. But he was like, of course, whatever I wanted to do, he's like, we have options. We have the DNC option, which I did not want to do.
Right.
We had the option of taking the medication. We had the option of just waiting it out and seeing, you know, letting it pass naturally. Mm-hmm. That at first was my choice. I said, okay, mm-hmm. let's just let this happen. And within a few days, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Knowing their pregnancy is not viable, knowing there's no life.
100%. 100%.
I don't know how long this could take. This could take weeks, I found out.
Yep.
So then I decided just to take the medication and let that happen.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that you went through that, Kristen. And I'm so glad that you shared too, that you were thinking, you know, what did I do? What did I do wrong? Oh. Because I do, again, I think that as women, we beat ourselves up and we do ourselves such a disservice in thinking that it's our fault. And, you know, like you said, even the word.
I couldn't imagine what the other reason could be. Like, I remember I kept asking my doctor, like, why, what happened? And he's like, that this is just one of those things where there is no answer to the why.
Right.
Like, typically miscarriages aren't even because of that. Like it can be a DNA thing on the father's side. Like literally you don't 100%. Even know.
Right.
So
it's crazy to think of how many things have to go right for it to actually be a healthy baby. And again, that's something you don't even think about until you're in this world of loss and infertility and ART and all that.
And the feelings of guilt also came with, and this is a feeling that surprised me that I found a lot of women related to, was I had equal feelings of like feeling so horrible for Luke because I'm like, I don't understand how you feel just as equally as you don't understand how I feel. Like, I don't know how hard it is for him or how he must feel like he has no control over it whatsoever because it's not his body. There's nothing he can do.
Yeah.
So this huge part of me just felt so terrible for him. And then this other part of me, a smaller part, felt like, you don't even get it. How could you possibly get it? It's not your body.
Totally.
It was just fear.
Yes.
But at the time, like I said, like, is this going to be easier for you now? Like, is that why you don't seem as like upset as I do or something? Just the most outlandish things that were coming out of my mouth.
Not outlandish. It makes sense because
just trying to deal with.
Yeah.
Like there is no fucking answer to this.
You're right.
And
right.
That's the hardest part.
I think too, like partners grieving differently, you know, that's also really, really hard as some people get really, really sad. Some people get mad. Some people don't want to deal with it and they just kind of compartmentalize, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And it's just so hard on a relationship too. So, okay, let's talk about then you guys decided you were going to do IUI, right?
Yeah, it was so quick. It was all, which you will see all, like this on the Valley, I mean, but it was,
oh, I can't wait to watch.
September 4th and our IUI procedure was the end of September. It was like 3 weeks later.
Okay.
So it was like, we were kind of like talking to the doctor. We were like thinking about things. Luke then got his sperm tested. I did another ultrasound. We're seeing where we're at. Yep. And then it was like, okay, so this has to happen around this time of your cycle. Are you guys ready to go? And at first we were going to wait a whole nother month just so we could kind of take it all in and
think
about it. And then we just thought like, well, what's one more month? Like, what is that really going to do? I guess we'll be more knowledgeable, but I'll just do it. Like if we want to do it.
Yes.
So it did happen pretty fast.
How are the hormones? And you did like 2 weeks of injections, right? Give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How was that?
I was not prepared for mentally and emotionally the way that was going to feel. Like I really, I guess I should have thought back to like how Sheena felt when she froze her eggs and she was on even more hormones than I was at this time. But that was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was either like slap happy or like sobbing my eyes out. Like
totally. There's no in between.
Every day I was either crying. I was cry laughing or crying. And I'm like, I don't know why. And Luke was like, what in the hell?
100%.
I was on progesterone for my first trimester.
Okay.
For the first 12 weeks as well.
Okay. So before you got the pregnancy results, the happy news, tell me about waiting for the results too, because you know, that's another hard time to navigate when you're in that limbo and you're just like, fuck,
it's taking so long, but then you're like scared to get the answer because you kind of like not knowing because it's still, you know, like that whole thing. It's such a mindfuck.
Oh, that's such a great point. Absolutely. Like the day, 2 days after or the day after I did IUI, I had to go to Vegas for a work trip.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, okay. And it was sponsored by a tequila company. And I'm like, I'm not going to drink.
Right.
I'm supposed to pretend I'm pregnant. And then it's like the thoughts go through my mind of like, well, a lot of people don't find out until they're, and I'm like, no.
Right,
and
right.
Fake shots of water and like
100%
it up. And, but so that was like kind of helpful for a couple of days. And then after that, every day felt like a year.
Yeah.
It's yes. Like, and I kept yes. like asking my doctor, like, so can I take a test now? So can
right.
I take a test now? And she's like, here's the thing. You can take as many effing tests as you want.
Right.
But your hormones that you're shooting yourself with may affect something on there. Mm-hmm. You could get a false negative. You could get a false positive. Like
right.
you just have to wait this out or yep. you could just put yourself through it. I'm telling you, we're not going to listen to it until like this date.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah. And then wait. It's like the numbers have to be going up. You know, I remember thinking the same thing. I didn't want to get a false positive or a false negative either. So I waited to test, you know, get that blood test, but it was torture. It was complete torture waiting. And then I remember I went in for the blood test at like 6 a.m. and they're like, okay, so we'll call you like around 3. And I was like, what? And she's like, go home and take a nap. And I'm like, I can't sleep right now. Are you
insane? No way.
Okay. So then you guys get this big pregnant result. And I know that, you know, another thing I'm really happy that you've been open about is, you know, still feeling nervous and, you know, especially after having a loss. So tell me a little bit about that, please.
It was hard to feel happy.
Yeah.
Like I was happy, but I didn't react the way that I thought I would react. I didn't react the same way that I did the first time that we found out we were pregnant, mm-hmm. where that was just like, I don't know, like rom-com movie reaction is what right. I had the first time. Like, oh my.
Such a good analogy.
Tears. And it was exactly what I thought it would be and feel and do. And the second time I was like, internally, I was ecstatic. Mm-hmm. Externally, I don't know. It was like, I called Luke. I mean, he was in tears. I wasn't. I didn't cry. It was like excitement and then overshadowed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was still there. I'm not going to say I wasn't like sure. happy, grateful or excited, but it was very much overshadowed by nervousness because it was just, I mean, every day for months and months until I was like about four, almost 5 months pregnant, probably four. I was just like, but at what point am I going to be told that it's gone?
Totally. Like waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, we always talk about how there's like, you're cautiously optimistic, but you don't want to jinx it or you don't want to, you know, get too excited. And I think that that's one thing that like infertility or recurrent pregnancy loss or any pregnancy loss kind of strips you of is like that unabashed, like joy of like, that so many people experience because they've never experienced loss. So like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. And then it's just happy from there on out. But for right. all of us that have had losses, it's like going to the bathroom and wiping and being like, please no blood, please no blood.
To this day though, I still do it. I don't feel that nervous. Like I feel her kicking right now as we're speaking. Like to this day, every single time I go to the bathroom, like I'm just going, oh my God, please say
yes.
Not.
Exactly. I know that feeling. And you know, if you don't mind, you did mention, you know, you had like a little bit of a scare or a big scare with the bleeding. Can you just talk about that really quickly before we wrap it up? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was really terrifying. I mean, we were, again, I think it's just past 12 weeks, maybe beginning of my 13th week. So just like right out of my first trimester, which I was told, or you think, if you can get past those first 12 weeks, you're fine.
Right.
You're solid. Like that's it. That's the scariest time for a miscarriage, which is true. I know that that is like more, it's more likely. And we were just sitting on the couch and honestly, I thought I had like peed my pants or something.
Oh my God.
Like,
yes.
I was like, what is happening? Ran to the bathroom and it was the most insane amount of blood and just kept happening and going and going. So I had Luke call my doctor. It was on a weekend, which was the worst thing we could think of. And of course, both of my doctors are very calm about it. And like, essentially, if it's happening, it's happening. But mm-hmm. like, let's, for your peace of mind, let's just get you to a hospital. And I mean, God, driving to this day, I'm like, I don't know how Luke kept his wits about him to mm-hmm. get in that car and to drive while mm-hmm. I'm like screaming and bleeding.
Oh.
And to drive to not one, but three different hospitals just so we could actually get seen.
Because that you couldn't get into them? They were too crowded or something?
We went to like the closest one. It was really crowded. It was like a Friday night.
Oh my God.
The second one we went to, we could just see like a sea of people in the waiting room from the outside. Mm-hmm. We're like, mm-hmm. no, this isn't. There's like ambulances outside. I'm like, they're not going to care how much I'm bleeding. But I had this moment of like, is this what women mean when they say like, I'm going to bleed out in a parking lot?
Oh my God.
Those thoughts are going through my mind. And so eventually we get in to Cedars and they saw me pretty quickly. It was still like a long time there, but they saw me quickly enough to be like, go into the restroom. Here's some pads for you. You know, you can get cleaned up. Let's take your blood. And then we did the ultrasound and that was, and like, as soon as we heard her heartbeat, it was like, it's over. Like I could.
Yeah, I know. I just got the full body chills and I know you're like welling up.
That was like all we needed. It was okay. And that was the first time I actually saw like movement on an ultrasound too, which was pretty wild because we weren't, you know, very far along yet, but to see a little mushy little gummy bear diving in there while I'm sitting here going, are you even still alive? And she's just thriving, moving around like it's nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. Very
grateful. Oh my God. Yes.
That. Yeah. So, I mean, again, it ended up being fine. Stopped bleeding like overnight. They sent me home. But then, like I said earlier, they sent me home with that paperwork, like essentially saying you may have just experienced a miscarriage. And I'm like, that ultrasound.
Right.
Otherwise.
Right.
So it's very confusing to know you're going home. I went home really happy and relieved, but also like, so is it going to happen later then? Or
Are we out of the woods? And you never know. And no one can tell you that definitively either. I think that's also one of the hardest things is like until that baby is in your arms, you know, but even then you're like, oh shit, now there's a whole nother set of things I have to be worried about because they're here.
Yeah. And that was one of the times I was on bed rest after that for like a little over a day or like 2 days maybe. And so I was Googling a lot. And that's when I went down a little bit of like a Google-itis like hole. But I found as much more horrible things. So I don't highly recommend the Googling.
Yeah.
But I did find a few things of forums of women being like, yes, that happened to me. Yes, that happened to me. Yes, that happened to me. My baby's totally fine. So what it ended up being was I had had a hematoma earlier. Like we saw maybe around like 6 or 7 weeks, just like a really small hematoma, and it ended up hemorrhaging. And really all it was, they said there was no reason for it. There wasn't anything like I did or couldn't do. And after that, my doctor just said like, there's going to be old blood coming out. It's your blood, not hers.
Yeah.
It's going to be scary, but it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And your body it'll either absorb it or it has to, you know, expel. So just like, don't even freak out. And he said, the only thing I wouldn't do is jump on a trampoline. It might freak you out.
You're like, oh, well, there goes my Friday night. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So that was, terrifying, but.
Yes, absolutely. So tell me, before we wrap, Kristen, what would you say to somebody who's listening who like, might be experiencing have experienced a pregnancy loss or, you know, just going through this infertility shit and feeling really alone. Like, what do you know now that you didn't know when you were kind of in the thick of all that?
I think the biggest thing is that like, this might sound like cliche or cheesy, but like everybody and everybody is so different. So I think, you know, leaning into support and women who have stories like yours, I think it is so important to feel seen, to feel noticed, to feel understood, but also knowing like your story is going to be your story and it will not be like anyone else's. And that is like perfectly normal. Okay. Exactly how it should be. Because I did a lot of compare and contrast. It's like, well, why isn't mine just like hers? And it's not going to be, but mostly like to honor yourself and like, it is a big deal. Like it is a big deal and it's okay to feel those feelings and it may never go away. It does get easier with time. And I know I'm saying that as someone who was lucky enough to conceive after the fact, but it definitely gets a little bit easier with time. But I think the biggest thing is just to say like, you're allowed to be sad and you're allowed to like, whatever makes you feel better. If it's like honoring your baby, like if you had a name or if you didn't have a name, no matter if you were just like you were saying earlier, just like a few weeks along, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make it less hard. in any way, shape, or form. And for the infertility thing, I mean, I think don't be deterred by the word infertile. Don't be deterred by the terminology that is being used that we don't love, and educate yourself. Like the more you know about your body, the more you know about the science around, you know, your options, the better.
Yep. So baby girl is coming in June. Is that right?
Yep. Three months.
Oh my God. I'm so happy for you. And you are already such a good mama. So thank you so much, Kristen. This is an absolute thrill to talk to you. And like I said, I feel like I've known you after watching you all these years. So thanks for just opening up your life to everybody and for being so
thank
honest.
Thank you for having a platform for women.
Yes, back at you.
Okay, my friends, thank you so much. And thanks again to Kristen Doty for an amazing conversation. I love talking to her. And it's always so wonderful when somebody in the public eye normalizes a conversation around miscarriage, infertility, IUI, ART, all those things. So thank you again to Kristen. Thank you to everybody who has a platform who talks about this stuff. And guys, if by any chance you haven't watched Vanderpump Rules, A, I'm so jealous because you get to start it from scratch, but I highly recommend starting from episode one and then going through and watching the Valley season one and Valley season two coming up. It's just so good. There's never been another reality show like it. It's funny. It's dramatic. It's all the things. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you again to Kristen. And thank you guys for listening. As always, if you need me, my DMs are open. You can always reach out to me. You don't have to go through this alone. I promise we're here for you. All right. I will talk to you guys next time. Thanks so much.